The Lord at His coming will send a plague to smite all the people that fight against His children in Jerusalem. That's verse 12. And not only that, but verse 13 tells us that there will be seen mutual annihilation of Israel's enemies through a supernatural panic like the time of Gideon and the Midianites. You remember the story of the Gideon and the Midianites in Judges chapter 7? Gideon was asked to deliver Israel from the Midianites, and the Midianites were encamped like grasshoppers in the field. So vast and so great was the encampment. And Judges chapter 7, each one of your notes right at the bottom. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Let Israel bend themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. So there were 32,000 soldiers there. And the Lord says that, you know, if you go with 32,000 soldiers against the enemy, well, there is a possibility of a good fight, because the numbers speak that they are, it's an even battle. But the Lord says that lest when they win, they think that it is by their own strength that they win. The Lord tells them that He will have a different strategy, so that when Israel wins the battle, they know that it is the Lord. In our life, it's the same. God would certain times reduce us to almost nothingness, to a state of utter dependence. When we are robbed of our confidence, when we realize that we have no more ability to use our wisdom to fight. The Lord does this in the lives of His children so that He may manifest His presence and His power in our lives, so that we may know that it is Him that is sustaining us and not we ourselves. You see? So in that battle, the Lord said to Gideon, those who are fearful, let them go home. So out of 32,000, 22,000 went back. So what kind of an army is left? Only 10,000. Right? How to fight 10,000 against the host of the Midianites? Well, the Lord says that, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. 10,000 is still too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there, and it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that leapeth water with his tongue, as a dog leapeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bowed down his knees to drink, and the number of them that leapt, putting their hand in their mouth, were 300 men. So what he's saying is that those who were ready, they were always alert. Even when they were trying to take water, right? They were alert. God wants to use these soldiers. There were only 300 of them out of the 10,000. So this became Gideon's army. How to fight? So you realize that fighting the Lord's battle, it's not a battle of the might, not a battle of our own wisdom. You know, if we can use our wisdom to win a battle, then God will not get the honor and the glory. But we would think that, you know, we have the wisdom, we can do it. We are that good. We are able to we are able to do this ourselves, and that we have that strength to be able to handle the matter. And oftentimes that self-confidence the Lord does not like. The Lord doesn't want us to have that. Not that He doesn't want us to serve Him with confidence, but He wants us to serve Him with God confidence, not self-confidence. So, you know, in the life of the believer, you realize that all the time, as we have been taught, that we seek the Lord first before we do anything. In every task that we do, big or small, we ask God, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this how it should be done? Please show me your wisdom. Because if we use our own wisdom, you're going to see later, you're going to fall flat. But if you use the wisdom that God gives you and He tells you that this is what you should do, then you're going to succeed. And you're going to succeed well. This is what Gideon did. And his story was one whereby he succeeded very well. You see, and the Lord even tells him that he's going to win the battle with 300 men. How did the Lord tell him? Well, the Lord said, verse 7, by thee, the 300 men that led water will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let the other people go every man unto his place. So they took victuals in their hands and the trumpets, and sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass in the night that the Lord said to him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it unto thine hand. So God said to him, while he was sleeping, the Lord awaked him and said that, okay, now you go down to the enemy camp. I want to show you something. So he would go there as a spy. Okay, going there, infiltrating into the enemy's camp. And what happened there? And thou shalt hear what they say. Ah, so what is it that they will say? Well, then he went down with Phurah, his servant, and unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, and behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dream a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, and it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. But his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel, for into his hand God has delivered Midian and all his host. So when Gideon heard it, the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided 300 men into three companies and put a trumpet in each man's hand, empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. What is the Lord saying? The Lord is saying to us that you will have the victory. You see, before we fight, you are told that you will have victory. You see, the Christian life is so victorious. Before you fight, the Lord tells you the strategy and tells you whether you will be victorious. And if you look at the life of the people of God, every time before they go into a battle, they would seek the Lord. Lord, will we win this battle? Or we'll lose this battle? If we'll lose this battle, then how? If you're going to win this battle, how? Well, the Lord said to them, go. Or the Lord will say to him, don't go. And it's always very clear. Why does the Bible record this for us? Because the Lord wants us to know that you don't do anything without the Lord's consent. And you need to build up that spiritual tenacity within you to know when to act, when not to act. Because if we act before the Lord, we are going to suffer. And here you see an example. wow, what happened? Here, verse 17, it says, and he said to them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpet in their right hand to blow with it, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. What a battle. And the enemy ran, cried, and fled. They just ran away. And the 300 men blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the Lord, the host fled to Bethshittan, unto Zerirah, and to the end of Abeli Holah, unto Tabah. So you see here that there was a supernatural panic that took place in the Midianite camp when they broke the pitcher, the great sound, and blow the trumpet. There was suddenly a great sound. You know, it's like a blasting horn that shook them to the core, that caused them to think that they have been surrounded by such great hosts of enemy around them that they are going to be destroyed. It caused them to be panicky and caused them to lose the will to fight. In the last time, God is going to employ a weapon. You see, if you we read this Zechariah 12 and 14, 12 and 13 in the light of the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, it's described for us the battle of Armageddon, the final battle. All the armies of the world will gather together to fight against God, God's people. In a sense, we say to fight against God, to fight against God. So how when they gather together to fight? Well, you see that the third weapon that God employed against the enemy is Judah, and divinely given to the remnant to spoil the nations of their abundance of wealth. The plague will consume all the common animals. But what happened here is that there will be a holocaust of the heathen armies in Jerusalem as God judges them. The word holocaust means completely, holos, and klostos means burn, completely burn. Okay. Derived from the Hebrew word shoah, denoting catastrophe, calamity, disaster, destruction. It is the term that is used to describe the genocide of 6 million European Jews during the World War II as part of a program of deliberate extermination planned and executed by the National Socialist German Workers' Party, the Nazi regime in Germany, led by Adolf Hitler. The Jews were first shot. Later, the introduction of gas chambers quickened the killing process, and they were stripped of all their valuables. Even their gold teeth were being plucked out. These atrocities were unspeakably wicked. The death suffered by these whose flesh shall consume away shall stand in their feet, and their eyes shall be consumed away in their host, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. It's most atrocious. But God will be the judge. I was watching a documentary that speaks about the nuclear bomb that exploded in Japan, and how literally, because of the heat, the skin, the burning, the skin literally just fall off fall off. So frightening. But here is described the heat that is so great that the flesh shall consume away as they stand upon their feet. That means they are standing there and they just get burned up. You know, just like flaming. They are just being torched. Okay? And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. That means standing there, they will be just totally burned. The heat that would come upon them, was it? How great that heat will be. This plague came because they would not submit to our Lord Jesus Christ. They were gathering. This is the army of the Antichrist. Right? We will read it in the light of Revelation chapter 19, 14, 15, 16, 17, the build up to Armageddon. The world's army will be gathered together. You see, the battle, the final war, was a battle between God and those who refuse Him. He would fight to the end. And Christ would return from heaven. You know, and by his word, He would destroy the enemies. And, you know, nowadays, recently, you see that there's a lot of telescope put up right, in America, in China, where they are trying to look for alien detection in outer space. Why is it like that? And in the movies, you see a lot of alien invasion stories. Why is it like that? Well, because the world that is opposing God is preparing the world to receive a false image of the return of Christ. It is against mankind. And you see all this conditioning that is going on. Because when Christ returns, it will be like this. He would come physically, and He would return, and He would land on Mount of Olives. And when He come, He would destroy all the armies. There will be a bloodbath. So when you are in Jerusalem, you'll find that the blood is up to, you know, your knees level. Bloodbath. Because there would be 100 million soldiers marching towards Jerusalem. And the battle at the plain of Megiddo, a flat plain. So, you know, it's like, how to fight? It's just like the Midianites with Israel, right? They were like grasshoppers as sands in the sea. Wow, how to fight? Cannot fight. But you see here, we cannot fight against God. We can only submit to His will. That's why it takes time for us to learn how to submit to God. Learn how to trust God. Learn how to follow Him. They might have thought that the might of all the nations was sufficient to fight the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the ill-informed pride of a rebellious heart that caused their downfall. Have you been rebelling against God's laws and there seem not to be a sign of God's judgment? Well, the message is this: repent. The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. May we pray, Lord, help me to see my sins as they are and to repent. May the Lord help us. We all need to come before Him to realize that we are sinners before Him, that we cannot order our lives. We need help. We need Him. That is why we study the Word of God, to understand how we ought to order our lives. And verse 18, it says, "And it came to pass at the same time when God shall come against the land of Israel, the Lord God, that my fury may come up in my face. For in my jealousy and the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all men that were upon the face of the earth shall shake at the presence, at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord. And every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him, and with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and a great hailstone, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 38:18-23. A parallel passage. The armies of the nations that take the mark of the beast will suffer terrible fate at a word from his mouth. All the weapons of war will be rendered useless. There will be a bloodbath in the Holy Land that it will take 7 months for Israel to clean up and bury the dead, and 7 years to destroy all the weapons. Ezekiel 39. On the 26th of September 2008, the Chinese Shen Zhou number 7, Ark of God, spacecraft blasted off at 9:07 p.m. Thursday, carrying 3 Chinese astronauts into space on the country's 3rd manned space mission in 5 years. The 3-day mission included the country's first successful attempt at a spacewalk. The Chinese government has spent billions of dollars in recent years building up a space program that it hopes will help China establish a space station by 2020. Well, as I was preparing this, I was actually in Hong Kong, and I was reading the newspaper at the time, and the newspaper article speaks about this Shen Zhou they were launching, so we wrote this. And eventually will put a man on the moon. Accomplishments that will certainly bring the country international prestige. The launching of Shen Zhou 7 from Jiuquan Satellite Launch Center in Gansu Province, which is in western China, was shown live on state television. The only safe ark is not in a space station that China will build, or the Shen Zhou 7, but in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, man is trying to find ways to save himself, to prolong his existence upon earth. How can we escape the coming judgment? Certainly not by escaping to outer space, but by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Have we great investments, stocks and shares, gold, money, cars, careers, properties, leisure? Are they won by dishonest means? Have they become our idols? The day of reckoning is coming. Yesterday I was with a youth group discussing the church in Laodicea. The church in Laodicea, described in Revelation chapter 3, speaks about a lukewarm church. The church was neither hot nor cold. They were plagued by materialism. And I said to the youth there that they are like the people in Singapore. Your bank account cannot go below a certain amount. Once it goes below, wow, that's a panic button. we go bonkers, you know. Because that's the safety threshold that we have, right? But the people of God who trust in God, well, we realize that, you know, you can't put your confidence in your bank account. So sometimes, why did God allow us not to have a bank account? Because he tells us that this bank account will not help you. It doesn't really profit you. It causes you to think that you are okay, you are steady. Because you have this amount that is in the bank, I can buy this and buy this, it can last me for this long. But you never know. Right? Your life is in the hand of God. Only He can keep your life. So if we understand this, then we realize that, you know, whatever that God gives us is the best. Whatever job that He has, whatever we have in our bank account, that's all we have. That's all the Lord wants us to have, and that's enough for us. The Lord wants us to know that He will take care of us. It's not what we have in the bank account. Because the church in Laodicea banked so much, right, upon their riches. So Jesus says, you are rich, but you are poor. You are rich, but you are poor spiritually. You are very poor, and there is that this illusion or delusion concerning your spiritual wellness. You think that you are well, you are not that well. Because your wealth, your wellness is built upon your wealth. What you have. And it's easy for us, you know, we may not build our wellness upon our wealth. It could be other things that we think that we have that cause us to feel that we are comfortable. And the Lord says that these are idols in our life. We can only know, depend on the Lord, and He's the only one that can take care of us. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The Lord wants us to realize that that the best that we can have is to have Him with us. When we have the Lord with us, we have everything. You may not have all the things of this world, but you have the person that owns all the things of this world. All that you need, He can give it to you. All that you need, He will supply you. And all that you need, He will take care for you. So happy, right? Why should we be worrying? We should not be. And the Lord says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? The Lord wants us to cast our burdens upon Him and trust Him. Let His peace be upon us so that we may have that renewed confidence that He will take care of us while we are going through whatever that we may be going through. He makes no mistakes, and He will be there seeing us through. And He wants us to know that He will see you through. What a joy it is, right, to be with God, our great God. He gives you victory upon victory, and He bids you, right, to live faith upon faith. Continue to live by faith. May the Lord help us. May the Lord grant all of us a blessed week with Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy, thank Thee for Thy word, thank Thee for Thy presence with us to guide and lead us. May Thou grant us Thy grace through this new week. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.